The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. Off we go into a new week. It was good to be back. I was out. I was burned out. You guys ever been burned out? Like, I love doing this. Chairman of the board, Jared Nielsen, I would think if I put truth serum in Jared, not that I would need to because he's always truthful, and said, hey, was Brad burned out the last few weeks? He would be like, oh, man, you have no idea. You have no idea. No, I've just been doing a lot. There's a lot going on. I needed a break. So we went to my better half and then our dog. We got a dog in August. We had to put our dog down after like 14 years, I think. I think Monty was 14. So we had this dog and I absolutely adore him. He's so cool. He's just this big throw rug. He's not supposed to be. So we went to Durango and we went to Denver and we flew to New York City to hang out with childhood friends, saw three shows on Broadway, ate slices, walked a lot, hung out, took this thing and threw it in the Hudson River. And that started to come up for air. And now I'm ready to get back. I actually was in Times Square and you know, they have the ticker in Times Square and it goes across Antonio Pierce show costs the NCAA for ASU. Of course, I'm just like, oh my gosh, how can we not laugh at this? Oh man. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always, that's Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate Jeff Mishi and their ongoing support. We have the great Jody Jackson coming up at 10:15. Jody Jackson's Gems, brought to you by Edie Marshall Jewelers. Jody and I will try to figure out what happened with the Cardinals. It feels like a broken record. I've been here 33 years. I've seen slop like this through the years. I can't tell you what happened against Washington and what happened against Green Bay or any different. And beating the 49ers, everybody's, oh my gosh, beat the 49ers. 49ers didn't have Christian McCaffrey, just so we're clear. And some of their other players aren't even at 100%. So when these teams, it's like Dallas yesterday getting destroyed by Detroit. If the two teams met again in December, when players are like, I got to get to the playoffs because there's extra money involved, versus it's October and we're just trying to get through it. That's not what happened with the Cardinals. Cardinals just melted down. All the penalties they had, it was ridiculous. It's one of those things that's 3 hours of my life I will never get back after sitting watching that slop yesterday. Just dreadful. But we will talk to Jody about it. And then John Wilner. College football is greater than pro football by a mile. It's just not even close. The total chaos on Saturday, I was gripped all day and all night. Just one. It started with the ASU game on Friday night. And then Saturday, it was Alabama being pushed to the limit by South Carolina. And then it went over to BYU, just jack-stomping U of A. And I was over on USC trying to figure out how to give away a game, which they did to Penn State. I tell you what, and we're going to talk to Wilner about this. Lincoln Riley's got to be in trouble, doesn't he? He's, what is it? He's lost 8 of his last 13 at big bad USC. And you guys, you probably have a friend or somebody in your life who's a USC guy or girl, and they just drive you crazy because it's their air of arrogance. They're like Dallas Cowboy fans. You know, we're USC. Da, 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 da. You've lost 8 of 13. You're paying your coach $70 million. It's like Dallas Cowboy fans. We're the Cowboys. Yep, we are the Cowboys. You haven't won anything with Jerry Jones in forever. You haven't won anything. You get absolutely destroyed. But they're America's team. No, they're not. I'm not on this bandwagon, but the Kansas City Chiefs are America's team. That's the facts now. This 1980s living in the past, you're a Cowboy fan, you should be embarrassed and humiliated. So I'm watching college football on Saturday. It goes from the BYU U of A, which was just a beatdown. BYU looks good. And then it goes into Oregon, Ohio State. And I'm watching LSU against Ole Miss. It was just such great theater. Boise State, Hawaii. I flipped over to Washington State for a little bit. Oregon State against Nevada. Yeah, I'm one of those guys. I can sit there and just watch game after game. I don't have a DraftKings app open. I'm not betting on these games. People are like, oh, you must bet because you're in it so much. No. And as the day is progressing, it's like, look at all this chaos. You know, Iowa State, BYU, Texas Tech are leading the Big 12 today. Let's go through that again. Iowa State, BYU, and Texas Tech. Nobody had that. If you're an Ohio State fan, you've got to be done with Ryan Day. You're going to blame poor Will Howard? That was a play calling issue at the end of the game. So there's a lot with Wilner that I want to get into. And we will chop it up with John. That'll be coming up shortly. Watched the Dodgers and the Mets last night. I feel like the Dodgers, you know, Dodgers at the end of the season, their pitching didn't look good. By the way, Dave Roberts admitting that he baited Manny Machado and took the pressure off of him in that Dodger-Padres series, that's just smart. Oh, that's the wrong thing to do. You just hate the Dodgers, okay? It's actually very smart to get gamesmanship, to use us as a distraction. Oh, I thought Machado was throwing at me. I thought it was dangerous. Everybody's, oh, yeah, all the focus off your players, on you. That's like deflection 101. And, you know, there's some people that are really smart and sharp about that, and Dave is one of those guys. Looking forward to watching this series. And then the Yankees series against Cleveland. The networks have to be hoping, dear God, Yankees, please beat Cleveland. And they probably, you know, if you get LA and New York, you're going to win at the box office. You're going to win at the checkbook. You're going to win and all the metrics, all that stuff. It's very compelling. No offense to the Diamondbacks and Rangers last year. It was compelling to us nationally. No, it's not going to be. That's not me hating on being here. It's just this business. The business of sports is any team but Cleveland. Cleveland, yeah, they'll get some numbers in the Midwest, but if you have Yankees-Mets, a Subway World Series, are you kidding me? It's a lot more interesting than the Bills and Jets game that's tonight. I'll tell you that. What else? There was a lot that happened while I was gone. The Antonio Pierce story, I turned off my phone, and then when I came up for air, there were a bunch of texts like, oh, can you believe this, and what a joke. Guys, this story has been beaten into the ground, and it's a good thing that's behind ASU, but the empty seats that were at the Utah game, that is a byproduct of the years and years of negligence, malfeasance, and all that. And what Kenny is doing at 5-1, if you watch what Kenny's doing, and just look at what President Crow has done with sports through the years, okay? Here's how this is going to go. I mean, Jared's rolling on this. Here's how it's going to go. They're going to win big. I don't know if it's going to be this year or not. And Kenny is going to have people coming after him because he's young, enthusiastic, well-regarded, good-looking, can recruit, all these little boxes that Big Cigar alums want. Okay? And they're going to say, yeah, you've done that at little old Arizona State. Well, we're not little old Arizona State. When was the last time you won anything? Okay. So unless the president changes his tune in a huge way, somebody, I guess, asked Kenny about staying here or any of that stuff. It's just dumb. What's he going to say? You know, this is a coach that ESPN didn't even have his first name right twice during the broadcast the other night when they put up his font, his name under him. That was just, it's stuff that we've seen through the years where they refer to it as ASU when it's U of A and U of A when it's ASU, the Arizona Sun Devils, the Arizona State Wildcats. I've heard all that stuff through the years. That's just how it is. And when Kenny is doing what he's doing right now, he's going to have somebody that's going to come after him. Do you think they misspell Ryan Day's name? Do you think they misspell the head coach at Oregon? Do you think that they don't give the... Do you think that they don't send announcers? Like FS1 did the Coyotes, all the teams. They did the Arizona State-Wyoming game. They didn't even send announcers out here. They had him sitting in a studio in LA, which has been happening through the years. Do you think they ever do that for Ohio State, Michigan? Think they ever do that for an Alabama or a Georgia game? And they misspell, they don't even get his name correct, which is total disrespect, just so we're really clear. Like, you come in and you mispronounce the name of a player, that's going to happen on occasion. You come in and you have the wrong name for the head football coach and you're doing a broadcast nationally, it's inexcusable. And it may be that this is, again, one of my rants. Well, we'll just hire a kid out of college or in college, and they'll, and we hear this a lot. I hear this, just go hire a Cronkite kid. Cronkite kids make mistakes all the time. They're not ready, but people want to get impressed and in awe that, oh, look, at they're working at this place. You put somebody in a position where it's an embarrassment. It's not just oopsie. Oopsie, we misspelled the head coach's name. You didn't even misspell it. You got his first name wrong all the way through. So Kenny's going to have people that are going to come after him. It's going to happen. And when that does work out, you know, am I going to be that guy that calls Kenny Kyle now? Because that was the name, Kyle Dillingham. That's what ESPN had twice during the broadcast. Kyle Dillingham. They didn't call him that. They had it fonted under him. Kyle Dillingham. So these programs that aren't sitting there swirling around the $5 million mark in NIL, as Arizona State is, but they have 15 to 20 million, and we get all excited about storming a football field, and it's fine, the students storm the field, but get to a point where you expect to win big games. Well, they stormed the field when Oregon beat Ohio State. It's student enthusiasm. It's okay. Here, he beat Utah. Cam Rising could barely get around. Doesn't matter. It's what we do. Why are you being critical of us? I would just like to raise the bar of expectation level. That's all. Like, who cares if you're ranked or not? That's like, get these notes today. Oh my gosh, can you believe we're not ranked? I don't care. It's October. What does it look like at the end of the year? All the damage that was being done for all those years during the Herm and Antonio and Ray era doesn't get solved overnight. It's not like you just look in the rearview mirror and say, oh, it's over with. No, fans aren't stupid. They're not going to sit there and say, let's go put money into it. It's going to take time. I told Kenny that, Kent Summers and I went and had lunch with Kenny week after he was here. Said, all you have to do in this town is win and win big. He's winning. He hasn't won big yet. Halfway through the season. All right, Jody Jackson, Jody's Gems, and then John Wilner. It is good to be back. Jared Nielsen is the chairman of the board. If anything goes wrong on this show, it's absolutely 100% his fault, not mine. We're back with Jody next. And there she is. She's all smiles, even though we're going to talk about the Cardinals. That would be Jody Jackson, Jody Jackson's Gems, E.D. Marshall Jewelers. I've been gone the last couple of weeks. But following you and seeing that, first of all, play-by-play, girls flag football, awesome. That's so great you're doing that. That is
it's
very
fun. It's a lot of fun, yeah.
Yep. The Diamondbacks fire Strami and Fetters while I'm gone. And the Cardinals, one week, it's everything's great. And the next week, it's like everything's terrible, which is kind of like how it is with the Cardinals, in my humble opinion. So let's start with, what the heck happened in Green Bay from your view?
Yeah, well, first of all, Brad, you know as well as I do that that's the nature of Arizona sports. But I always laugh when people say it's Arizona sports because I haven't lived in a whole lot of other places, but it's kind of everywhere. So
yes,
I think we like to sort of all commiserate that we live in. But that's, you know, I grew up in Miami. Things were up and down there. I lived in Buffalo for 2 years. That, you know, they woe is me on some of that stuff, especially after they went. Of course, I wasn't there when they went to the four Super Bowls, never winning one. But yeah, it's just Green Bay. Okay, I have to admit, first of all, I actually picked the Cardinals to go up there and win the game because the way that they came out was totally unexpected to me. I mean, Brad, they came off of a win at San Francisco where they shut out the Niners' high-powered offense in the final half. They were down 23-10. They win 24-10, which tells you a little something about maybe the offense, because again, they you don't want to, you after you win, you don't really nitpick, but you know, they really still haven't shown a lot of explosive offense, but they won that game. And I thought, all right, you know, I guess it was just my optimism getting in the way. You know, what would happen if they won two in a row on the road against two good opponents? And I think what was disturbing was when you watch this game, they came out like they just came out of training camp. I mean, they had penalties, they had miscommunication, they couldn't hold on to the ball. They were getting lost in the secondary on balls that were in the air for way too long to not have a better idea of where the ball is, and just on and on. And it was just, and then you add the injuries on top of it. Now, Marvin Harrison Jr. has a concussion. You've got Bilal Nichols left this game. Kaiser White left this game. The injury list is getting really long, which is also nothing new and not an excuse, but there's a lot more questions than answers right now going into this Monday night game that's coming up against the Chargers.
I think it's when you play teams. Okay, they played the 49ers. There was no Christian McCaffrey, and there were some other players that were out as well for the 49ers. So play San Francisco in December. I think it's a different game. That's just me. I think the NFL, the first few weeks of the season, look what happened to Dallas on Sunday. I think if they play Detroit again in December, it may still be a victory, but I don't see that happening. And so I'm one of those, I'm not being negative. It's just, I've seen this movie before, Jody, where just when you think things are going to go right, along comes the Washington Commanders and just stomp all over the Cardinals. Well, then they go to San Francisco and they win. Yeah, the 49ers weren't at full strength. Let's just be really clear about that. And then they go to Green Bay and they get stomped all over by the Packers. So I have to look at it and say, Chargers here, Monday Night Football at Miami, a 10 a.m. body clock game in 2 weeks, and then home to the Chicago Bears. I would like to say 4-5, 5-4 in my heart's heart. I can't do that. I haven't seen Darius Robinson do much of anything because he's been hurt. That's a first round pick. Marvin Harrison Jr., not his fault. He hasn't done much of anything. He hasn't. It's a fact. And so your two first-round picks that should be giving you something, injuries are part of the deal, as you said, rightly so. But, I mean, you're sitting here on $24 million of cap space? Do you go pick up the phone and call about Hassan Reddick? You pick up the phone and call about Von Miller? Do you call about Max Crosby? Do you do anything before the trade deadline, the first part of November? Because this roster, the way it's constructed, they don't have enough playmakers, plain and simple.
It's a legitimate question, Brad, to see if something does happen to try to add. I have some questions about Hassan Reddick and what he's doing. That
me
just
too. Me too.
Question his character a little bit. But let's go back to Marvin Harrison Jr. It's interesting. You said not all his fault. Nothing is all anyone's fault on that offense. But I do have some concerns now at how – now he's injured, so that aside, let him heal up. Hopefully it's not a severe concussion. I think we all saw that slow-mo where his head went into the thigh of McDuffie on the Packers defense, and you hate to see that.
He's but, wobbling you know, that when aside, he got up. And, you know,
what's that?
He was wobbling when he got up.
And that it was good. Awful. It was awful. But I do have some questions about how long, you know, people think, right or wrong, that wide receivers can just enter from college and make an impact, and that's because they have. That's been a position that has been a little more able to do that. And I thought I was expecting more from him. I honestly was. He had the great quarter against the Rams. And then on other plays, you're just wondering what's going on. And so I have, you know, I'm certainly not declaring him a bust. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But is it his fault? I think he's trying, but like, where is he at mentally? Because sometimes I feel like he's overwhelmed. You know what I mean? And it wasn't just the Buffalo game where I gave him, I'll give you that. Okay. That's your first game in the National Football League. And then clearly he didn't look overwhelmed at all in that first quarter against the Rams. And then Darius Robinson, that's, you know, he's on the shelf. And what is concerning about that is last week after opening the practice window, he apparently retweaks, or I don't know if it was a full-blown retweak or had some soreness in that calf. So That is a big concern as well, because they could really use him. But you're right. And when you see a guy like, because you're white, you know, having an, you know, there are a few pieces away from going from hanging on for dear life and having some impact and having the ability to win a game. You lose white again. And I Chris Barnes did a nice job filling in. But, you know, these injuries as they mount, when you're already a team that doesn't really have the talent level on defense, it is very hard to win these games, especially when Jordan Love is just throwing the ball downfield.
Well, it's going to be Justin Herbert on Monday night. And I feel as though that the playmakers, it's nice to talk about some of the guys that have stepped in and done a nice job. The playmakers, the ones that are the high draft picks, the ones that are the high number that they're paying, I would look at the roster and say, to your point about Marvin Harrison Jr., is there somebody across the field from him at his position that can take the pressure off him? The answer is no. You know, that's just a fact.
And there's not really a veteran. Look, I mean, Michael Wilson, Greg Dortch. Greg Dortch has been around a little bit. Trey McCoy is still a young guy. I mean, there's no one really to show him the way at that receiver position. It falls on the coaches, which is fine. I mean, I think we all thought he was this ready-made, you know, just add water and he's a meal, you know.
Sure.
And I don't know that that's the case.
No, I mean, it's Anquan Boldin and Larry Fitzgerald had each other, okay? And that's a long time ago, but the game has not changed from the standpoint of if you just have one player at that position and the others are just guys, and this goes back to all the missed draft picks at that spot. You know, Trey McBride is doing a great job. Trey McBride's one of the better tight ends in the NFL now. He's emerged, and
it's
great. James Conner is a tremendous running back. But when you're beat up so badly on the offensive line, and fans don't want to hear about injuries every week, unfortunately, but they're part of the game. And when you see stuff like that, and I get the fire Gannon, they're never going to win with Michael as the owner, and all the usual stuff that I've heard for 30-plus years of being here, I don't see it getting better. And at some point, it is going to be, does Kyler want to be here? Or do they want Kyler here? It's going to happen, Jody.
Well, the Kyler, you know, again, it's week to week on this. Everyone anoints someone and then
yep.
And next thing you know. And so I don't really play that game, but it was the one thing that I feel like, and I hate to keep bringing it up, but his body language, again, it's a difference between being upset that things aren't going well to just kind of like the hands in the air and like pointing fingers. And it's just, I don't know. They didn't look ready to go. And I know they said both Kyler Murray and Jonathan Gannon said that they were juiced up and ready, and they just looked uncomfortable from the get-go. And it was raining a little bit, you know, it was raining and you saw guys slip. And I feel like they almost mentally, you know, put a fork in themselves early on in this game. And you're right, they're beat up on the line. That does not help. But they had some calls go against them. We could whine about all of it, right?
No, I will not go down that path. I mean, 13 penalties, I'm not going to whine about.
No, I agree. Well, it was funny because a colleague, Teo Mackey, wrote about the least penalized team in the league this, you know, which has been Gannon, and the Cardinals had 19 through the first, you know, five games. And I feel like it was just, I'm not blaming Teo, but it was just one of those things where it reared its ugly head in a big way. 13 penalties for 100 yards is game changing.
Jody Jackson, Jody Jackson's Gems, E.D. Marshall Jewelers puts it together every week. Jody looks great. She brings the knowledge. She brings the hammer. And she brings the fly swatter when needed. Okay, what has to change against the Chargers?
Well, a lot of things have to change. First of all, you got to evaluate where you are injury-wise. They have guys that can step in. We saw that last year. I mean, they the next man up, it worked for them in the past, and I think they need to dial into that once again. But look, Brad, it goes back to the beginning of the year. We didn't have high expectations for the defense, but we did for the offense, and they have not lived up to it. The offense is going to have to bail this team out at times, and they really haven't done that. Mm-hmm. Not lately, at least. We did see it against the Rams, very explosive. Since then, not so much. And so what's going to have to happen is I don't know if you can live with the offense only relying on Trey McBride primarily for the explosive plays through the air. Where are the wide receivers? And if Marvin Harrison Jr. can't go, that just puts the onus on some of these other guys. And, you know, we saw Xavier Weaver get snaps. Anyone can come in and contribute. They just have to be on the same page. And unfortunately, Kyler Murray missed Weaver on a play that would have been a touchdown. But you do have Michael Wilson. You have Greg Dortch. You're going to have Zay Jones. We'll see if he'll be active this week. He's available. He's not coming off an injury, so he should be able to go. So they first of all, have to get their minds right. And then on defense, they have to eliminate some of the mental errors. It you know, the one thing against Green Bay is I did see there were moments where I said, there's a hand in the face. There's a little bit of pressure there for Jordan Love, but every single time he made the play anyway. Mm-hmm. So I understand the conundrum that they have, which is that you're trying to dial up pressure. You can't just rush four and get the pressure that you want. So you have to rush more guys. That puts pressure on the back end. And the secondary, I know they're young, but I like some of the pieces in the secondary. I do. I know that's crazy take today because no one's very happy with it. Sean Murphy Bunting is having a tough season, and he was signed here as a free agent. But Max Melton, I like what I've seen. Garrett Williams, I love what I've seen from that young man. And then you've got two safeties in Buda Baker and Jalen Thompson that you trust immensely. And those are the guys that have to step up and bring these guys along. But you have to eliminate those mental errors. And, you know, again, I could come out here and say, Brad, they have to win this game. But we both know that there's a chance they might not win this game. They haven't been great at home, which is terrible to say. I mean, they have to find a way to channel some of the energy in the home stadium to vault them to a better effort and just take it one quarter at a time. I mean, we all feel like they have to win this game, but we all know that they really don't. They really don't have to win. If they lose, they'll continue on. Maybe they'll string together some wins later in the season. There are some more winnable games. But the Chargers have an explosive passing attack. Herbert can really air it out. We saw that yesterday. They got up to the big lead against Denver, and then Denver ended up coming back. But it's going to be a big challenge, that's for sure.
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time as always and insights. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
Jody Jackson's Gems brought to you by E.D. Marshall Jewelers. We appreciate Jody week in and week out. We're back with more after this timeout. There is no debate about John Wilner. He is the best of the best. There's no debate about college football. It's the best of the best. And so John joins us. And the pressure's not on you, so just don't screw up the segment after that intro.
Yeah, well, I agree with the second part about college football.
John Wilner with us, all things college football for a few minutes. Wilner Hotline. USC has lost 8 of 13. Let's just start right there. There's a lot to get to from the past and the looking forward. But are we at a point now where USC is going to be sitting there as the Nick Saban swirling around rumor that makes no sense, but it makes sense to some Big Cigar alum? Is Lincoln Riley in trouble, John, starting there?
I don't think he's in trouble yet, but you can envision a course where he is in trouble by the end of the season. They didn't do very well last year. Like you said, they've lost eight of their last 13. 3-3, they are out of the playoff. It is October 14th, and USC is out of a 12-team playoff hunt. There's no way they're going to get in as an at-large. They've got three losses in Big Ten play, so they can't make – not going to make the Big Ten championship game, get the automatic bid. They're done. So I don't know that even if, let's just say they finish 7-5, I don't know that they would make a change. One, they would owe him a ton of money. I mean, USC's got a lot of money. We all know
sure,
that.
Sure.
But they would probably, my guess is they would owe him $60, $70 million. I think he's making about $10 million a year. He's got 6 or 7 years left on his contract. Plus the staff turnover. I can't see him doing it, but certainly next year the heat would be on. That's my guess. The Saban thing sounds great to the Big Cigars, but Saban is about to be, he turned 73 on Halloween, right? Nick Saban's birthday on Halloween. I'm sure a lot of people have fun with that, right? But I don't think Saban even wants to get back in it. He loves doing commercials. He loves being on ESPN. He doesn't want to deal with NIL. He doesn't want to deal with the transfer portal. Those are part of the reasons I think that he got out when he did. He was tired of this new age. He's not going to want to jump back in at that age to USC. There'll be some great names to float. if things continue to fizzle for the Trojans, but I don't think Saban is going to be one of them.
USC at Maryland. Who would have thought that that would be a game that's this Saturday that you'd look at and say, if the Terps get going, I think there's blood in the water, John. That's just me.
Certainly the East Coast trips have not been easy. I mean, Central Time Zone, Eastern Time Zone trips. Washington lost at Rutgers. USC's already lost at Minnesota and Michigan. Washington just got their doors blown off at Iowa.
Washington
at 9
was horrible. They were horrible.
9 a.m. start. It's hard. Yeah. And this is what everybody signed up for.
Yeah. If I had said to you at the start of the season, hey, Army and Navy are going to be sitting there ranked and be part of the college football playoff discussion, would you? This is what makes college football so great, so yep. much better than the NFL, so much better, John. When you have situations like Army and Navy, who have no NIL, who, by the way, come here and then after you're done, 5 more years.
Yes,
I mean, it's like you can't script this stuff. That they're in the middle of the college football playoff,
just weeks after Vanderbilt beat Alabama.
Yes,
too, you know,
yes.
And Indiana is 6-0. It's a little bit nuts. Army and Navy are ranked in the same AP poll for the first time since 1960. Now, Navy has been in and out. They've been pretty good. They were ranked at the end of the season a few years ago. Army's a little bit more of a surprise. I think it's fantastic. You know, Navy's got Notre Dame in a couple weeks, so we'll get a real chance to see if they're for real. The fact that it's a combination of these surprises happening with a 12-team playoff. If we were still in the 4-team playoff, even though they're undefeated, nobody would be talking about them about getting in. The interesting piece, too, is if the Army-Navy game somehow matters to the playoff, it is a week after the selections. The selection Sunday for the college football playoff is the first Sunday in December. Army Navy is always the second Saturday. It's the day of the Heisman when there's nothing else going on because it gives that game a huge platform. The committee would actually have to make contingency plans based on the outcome of Army Navy. So we wouldn't know the entire playoff when it gets announced, which I think would be awesome chaos.
Yeah. No, we love chaos here.
We love it.
Total college football.
We love it.
If I had said to you that Arizona State would be sitting there in the midst of a college football playoff race, that they are definitely in with their record today. I don't know if it's going to last. They have a 9 a.m. kick Saturday at Cincinnati. That's going to be hard body clockwise. I get it. But what do you see out of Arizona State? Are you buying them or is it still Cinderella story?
I am buying that they're pretty good. I'm not yet buying that they're a contender, that they're going to have a chance to win the Big 12 regular season title or get into the Big 12 championship game, say, in the middle of November. Not sure about that yet. But they're definitely better. They're much better at the lines of scrimmage, right? I mean, last year, Utah beat them 55-3, ran for 375 yards, something like that. This year, ASU wins by 8. That's a 60-point flip on the scoreboard. And Utah ran for about 150 yards. Much better at the lines of scrimmage. Quarterback plays pretty good. Cam Scataboo is just tremendous. Kind of an old school guy, right? I mean, there's a little Larry Zonka, and that's going way back. Mike Allstott came to mind when I was watching him a little bit. Mark Van Egan. You know, he's so big and thick. He's kind of like a fullback.
Sam Bam Cunningham.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's fantastic to watch. They got a lot of energy. Dillingham's obviously done a great job with the portal, making the right decisions on who to bring in. And look, Mississippi State's 1-5. Wyoming's 1-5. Who else did they play? Kansas is 1-5. They haven't played a great schedule. They lost to Texas Tech, and that could be significant in the Big 12 race. But, okay, give them credit. And Utah, Cam Rising couldn't run or throw. Doesn't matter. ASU's much better. They're on the right trajectory. Dillingham is celebrating with the fans on the field. You got to love it if you're an ASU fan.
Okay, Big 12. John Wilner at the start of the year guaranteed that BYU, Iowa State, and Texas Tech would be atop the Big 12 conference.
Yes, I did.
They
yes, I did.
Game back. I'm just kidding. If John had said that, I'd say, John, you're in the wrong business. Be investments. Tell us where to go buy stock.
Right. Well, certainly there's been a script flip in Utah because Utah was picked to win the Big 12.
Yep.
They're struggling. BYU was picked, I believe, 13th in the preseason poll. They're undefeated. And BYU looks really good. They look like the best team because they're very good on defense. Their quarterback is maturing rapidly. I think BYU's got a great chance to win the conference and get in the playoff. Who would have figured? Meanwhile, the same similar script flips going on in Arizona, where ASU picked last in the Big 12 is a contender, and Arizona picked fifth, I think, is struggling. Arizona's got three losses already. Who figured that Arizona would win at Utah by double digits and lose at BYU by double digits?
Well, their offense looks terrible, too,
Jim. It looks terrible. There's something wrong.
Yep.
It's just not whatever's going on with the coaching and the play-in. There's some kind of disconnect going on. It shows you that you can bring back the same core of your roster, but the next season is a totally different team. And that's what's happened with Arizona. Coaching change, playbook change, dynamics change. We don't know what's going on exactly in the locker room in terms of the players having one eye on the NFL, counting their NIL money. You know, all that stuff has to be accounted for. Bottom line is Arizona is not right. And they could get right because they only have two losses in conference play. They aren't out of it in terms of getting in the Big 12 championship game. And if you can get into the championship game, you can get into the playoff because the winner gets an automatic bid.
One other thing before I get you out of here, John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, he joins us every week. Ohio State's coaching decisions by Ryan Day. Everybody's going to blame Will Howard for the loss at Oregon because he didn't see the clock. They had an opportunity to kick the field goal and to walk out of there. But instead, they kept at it. And they get a wide receiver penalty, pushes them back.
Yes.
As a scramble. I look at Ohio State, and Ryan Day just doesn't look like he enjoys doing what he does.
Oh, my gosh.
He looks miserable, John. And I look at Ohio State and say it may be just time to pull the plug on him because if he doesn't beat Michigan, he's going to be fired. And it's what do you make out of Ohio State?
First, I thought it was a fantastic game. And second, both of those teams are going to get in the playoff and could win the national title. But I agree with you. Day just looks like he is so stressed. Mm-hmm. And you wonder if that has an impact on how his team plays in the big games. He's 0-2 against Oregon and 0-3 against Michigan the last few years because Oregon beat him in Columbus in 2021, I think it was, 2022. So they're not playing well in big games. They're not winning big games, and Ohio State is expected to win big games. They spent $20 million or so putting their roster together. They're loaded with draft picks, and they're not getting it done. And you're right. If he loses to Michigan, he could lose his job. It is possible. I cannot believe they lose to Michigan. Michigan can't throw the ball. I still think Ohio State's going to be in the final four of the playoff semifinals, Oregon 2, but we'll see. It was a terrific game, though. A kind of game you don't get that game as in a conference setting without realignment.
I was hoping John would say Army or Navy in the final four, but
I don't know. See, that's the thing. All this parity, but still, how many teams can win games the last two rounds of the playoff? I still think that number is 5 or 6 are going to win the semifinals and win the championship. You know, these Indiana's great, BYU's great, Army, Navy, Boise, ASU, you know, take your pick. But Pitt, there's another example. How many teams can win those last two rounds of the playoffs? That's where you got to have the loaded blue chip recruiting classes, all the first round draft picks. And I think there's still only a handful of teams that can win those games.
Appreciate your time and insights as always. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
And we're back with more after this timeout.